that's right. I'm right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. Mike Pitts is over there in Lawrence, I do believe. And, of course, that's Representative Mike Pitts with us here today. How you doing, Representative Mike Pitts?
I'm doing well, or as well as can be expected. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, it's good to have you on the air. Sorry to hear about your father-in-law, correct?
That's correct. I appreciate that, too. I told my wife today, not many son-in-laws can say that they were loved by their father-in-law and their mother-in-law.
Yeah. Well, that's always tough, and our hearts go out to her, too.
Yeah, she's having a tough time dealing with it. I appreciate that. Thank you, Ann.
I understand. Well, you know, tomorrow's a big day where you go back to Columbia, but yet you've been working all along. I don't exactly understand this, Mike.
What's that?
Well, I mean, you're just going back to Columbia, but you've been working all along, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I didn't get much of a break this past year.
Absolutely. Now, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, Lieutenant Governor Glenn McConnell is not going to seek re-election, wants to become the president of Charleston College down there. What are you feeling about that, Mike?
I hate to see Glenn leave state government, because Glenn is one of those people that truly believes in the Constitution, truly understands the Constitution, both state and federal, and tries to adhere to it and govern by those documents. So I hate to see him leave. I have said this before, and Glenn McConnell is the best political chess player that I have seen since I've been an elected official.
Well, he's been doing it for a long time.
He has been doing it for a long time. I've worked with Senator McConnell and now Lieutenant Governor McConnell on many occasions, and sometimes we agreed, sometimes we didn't. But if you could show him where what you were doing was good for the state, he would support you. And I'm one who truly hates to see him leave.
I understand, and there's going to be some big shoes to fill when it comes to having a champion like Lieutenant Governor McConnell for seniors.
I agree with that. He championed many issues, and some of them not so quietly and some very quietly, but I liked him as a senator. I said when he left the Senate and went to the Lieutenant Governor's office, he left the Senate without adult leadership.
Well, you know, I know that he was very conflicted when it came down to having to make that stand when Ard was taken out of office, and it fell upon him to be in that office. I really thought he did the honorable thing when a lot of people would have tried to pull some shenanigans to stay in the Senate.
Well, he could have. There were avenues for him to stay in the Senate, but like I said earlier, he's a constitutionalist. And the Constitution was clear.
So, okay. So on that issue, that's going to leave a big hole there. But you've got a lot of issues facing you down there this year. What do you think are going to be the big issues, Mike?
I think one of the biggest issues facing us is going to be infrastructure. And roads, you and I have talked about this before.
Absolutely.
I firmly believe roads are, and how we fund them is going to be a key debate this year.
Well, you know, I was at the meeting that you weren't there, where the Ann Parks and Billy O'Dell and Senator Nicholson were, and the issue was brought up about adding some cents on the dollar for gas tax, and they said that basically what was said was, it's a good idea, but with the election coming up this year, don't see any way in heck that it's going to happen.
Well, I would be inclined to agree with that.
So how are we going to fund it?
Well, this year we'll put another Band-Aid on it, would be my guess, and try to move forward in the future. I know Tommy Stringer, a Republican from Greenville, put a bill in to index the gas tax. And I would support him on that. It was a good bill, in my opinion. Here's the thing, man. And again, you and I have talked about this before. The current revenue stream will not fund repairing our road system to the level that it needs to be repaired. We don't have enough money coming in surplus to do that. If we designated every surplus dollar we have to it, we don't have enough to repair it. So the funding's got to come from somewhere. So if we readjust the budget, prioritize, we could find money to do part of it. But then you've got a huge debate over where's that money coming from. Is it going to come from education? Is it going to come from health care? Can't much of it come from public safety because we got hit extremely hard 2 years a row in 07, 08. Well, actually three, 07, 08, and 09.
So as far as, and the Interstate Bank hasn't been able to make some decisions that would move things forward as fast as I think people thought they would.
I didn't hear you, Ann. I'm sorry.
I said the Interstate Bank hasn't really been able to make the decisions that would move things faster forward than what we thought would happen.
That's correct.
So, they're kind of in a quandary, and I don't really understand why, but do you know why they're in such a quandary about how to proceed?
I think because they're being pulled from too many different directions.
Somebody told me that the problem is that all the leadership is down there on the coast, Mike.
Well, that's been a problem for a while since David Wilkins left. When Wilkins left, we had all three of the major leaders of the state from the Charleston area. You had Governor Sanford, Bobby Harrell, Speaker of the House, and Glenn McConnell, the President of the Senate at that time, all from Charleston. So, yes, I'd be inclined to agree with you. At the same time, we lost a very powerful upstate representative when Harry Cato was beaten, and he was the chairman of the Labor, Commerce, and Industry Committee.
So it's going to be a problem for the upstate to get some of these funds for roads that we desperately need fixed up here, too.
Well, it wouldn't be if we could get the upstate to stick together. If the upstate would stick together and play politics with issues important to the low state, we could bring them to the table.
Hmm. Is that going to happen?
Well, we tried it before when my partner Jeff Duncan was in the House, and we weren't successful. We couldn't get enough people to stick together.
Well, then that just creates a losing situation for the upstate.
It does. That's why it's extremely important to have people in the Senate especially that can give you tenure, because everything there is dependent on seniority.
Okay. Well, we have Billy O'Dell.
We have Billy O'Dell with a good many years in and in leadership positions.
But we don't have enough in the other parts of the upstate.
No, we do not.
Okay. So that'll be one to watch. What about the general administration?
It's in the Senate.
And is it going to happen this year, or do you think it'll be changed over?
I don't know. I know in talking with Billy O'Dell that there's a sentiment to move that bill. I just don't know what the end product will be.
Okay.
That's the issue this year, is the House calendar is pretty clean when we left at the end of session. There are several issues over on the Senate calendar.
Well, for the House, what are going to be any other issues that are going to be big for the House?
I think there probably will be. There's a couple of bills that have been filed, and some of us that have a couple of bills that you'll see in the next week to 2 weeks that could be impact bills if we can pass them.
Well, what about this legalizing medical marijuana, that it's already actually been done 30 years ago here in the state of South Carolina? What's all about this?
Staff on Ways and Means found that last year, that it was legalized, medical marijuana was legalized 30 years ago. And they told me, I laughed at them, I said, not here. And they showed it to me. So it actually was.
I guess the issue was they didn't fund it, though, so therefore nothing happened. But now it's coming back around, if reading the headlines here.
Well, I haven't read the headlines. I've been kind of busy this past week.
Right. But
my opinion on that one is not strict hardline Republican on marijuana anyway.
So what do you think?
Well, I have stated before that we waste a ton of resources on a weed that can grow in the backyard. And the federal government made war on drugs, or headlined war on drugs in the 50s with marijuana. And if you go back and look at some of the propaganda that was put out at that time, you would think they were dealing with a combination of crack cocaine, heroin, and methamphetamine.
Hmm.
One smoke and you were hooked for life, and the hallucinogens in it would damage your brain forever. And it's just simply not true. There have been many university studies that show it's not a gateway drug and destroy a lot of the myths out there. But the bottom line, and as a retired police officer, I never once had to fight someone smoking pot. never once had to chase someone smoking pot. Really didn't have any trouble with them as a police officer. So I think those resources should be targeted toward a drug that is actually kicking us in the hiney, and that's methamphetamine.
Yeah.
As chairman of the Law Enforcement Budget Committee, I put $1 million into the budget 2 years ago now, to clean up meth labs and through state SLED's budget. The feds used to fund that, and they quit doing it. So someone had to fund it, and we picked that funding up through SLED.
Well, last week we busted 34 people here in the Greenwood area.
That's exactly right, and that's what I'm talking about. If you look at how methamphetamine is affecting the community, that's where we should be putting the resources that are going toward fighting, like I said, a weed that grows in the backyard.
Yeah, I also read a headline about they're talking about letting farmers grow hemp here in South Carolina because the conditions of the soil, and of course for the lack of tobacco that's now being grown, that this would be a good crop for South Carolinian farmers to be growing.
Well, I watched a documentary last week on Colorado's legalization and the federal government's desire not to prosecute on marijuana cases. And the way Colorado has done it is it's taxed extremely heavy. It's extremely supervised, so I don't know that the same process would work here if you were going to just let farmers grow it in their backyard or grow it in their fields.
Yeah. I have no idea either. Well, these are all interesting conversations to have. I know you have a full schedule when you get back. Are you going to be introducing any other legislation where children are concerned? You know, last year you did. Are you got any more things you're working on for this year?
I am. I'm working on one that revokes parental rights if you have a child at the location of a meth lab.
Well, that's a good one.
You can talk to school teachers and see what's happening to kids that were exposed to the poisons of methamphetamine labs and the behavioral problems that they have.
Well, and the problem is that this affects their brains right from the get-go. And, you know, one of my questions would be, can anything be done if they have been exposed to it?
Well, the more exposure, the more damage is going to be done. And in the long run, we as taxpayers are going to pay for it. So the due process issue comes up. But for me, as I stated, a retired police officer, someone has had due process if they are arrested with their children at the location of a meth lab.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Mike, I know that you are probably chomping at the bit to get down there to Columbia, right?
Yes, I am. I can't wait. Judges' races and budget hearings.
And what about Governor Haley's unveiling on the school issues? What do you think about that? Then I'll let you go.
I have not looked extremely close at what she put out, but looking at the bullet points that she sent me, I agree with part of it. I don't agree with all of it. We need the wireless infrastructure statewide. It can be used for a lot more things than just classroom education. And if we can make the state wireless, then we have the ability to advance with technology and education that I think is going to be the future. The downside to it for me is putting a notebook or an iPad in the hands of every student at taxpayer expense. Kids today can't keep up with their books, much less an expensive notebook or iPad.
So you'd be concerned about the replacement factor on it?
I would be extremely concerned about the replacement factor on it, whether it was damage to that component or the loss of the component altogether.
Sure. Well, listen, I won't keep you any longer. I really appreciate you taking some time with us, though. You're always good at giving us some straight talk, and I really appreciate you calling in this afternoon, Representative Mike Pitts.
You're quite welcome, Ann, and as always, thank you for giving me the opportunity.
All right. You have a good one, and be safe down there, and keep us in the loop.
Thank you, Ann.
All righty. Bye-bye.